We may think
for
of
what?
Yeah.
To look like Will Anderson.
No, I mean, shit, no, he'll drink the whole thing.
Oh, Lord. I mean, I got it, too. I was there.
What are we doing?
What'd he do?
It's 2-on-1.
Yeah. Did he? You did.
What'd I say?
You said the S word.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Always playing games with my job.
He turned and said, did he cut? Hey, by the way, listening to that Will Anderson interview, I mean, he is a coach's dream, isn't he?
That's right. 100%.
I mean, he ain't gonna give you nothing. I mean, all of them.
Let me know
who was your favorite. Who was somebody you can really look at that came in on the defensive side of the ball? All of them.
Every single one of them.
We had all
and
dogs.
I asked him again.
All right. And you try to change it around, and John said, "Well, yeah. Well, what? Just give us a couple of guys. Nope, can't do it.
Every single one of them. We need them.
All of them. Every last one of them. Yep.
All the pieces matter.
Get me. What
the
else
one
next?
Thing, the one thing Will does is Will pulls it off genuinely.
100%.
All of them?
Like that, no, that he, would he be, believes like it. If CJ says that, I'm like, come on, CJ. It's almost an eye roll. No, Will says it, and I'm like, yeah, I'm with you.
When Ed said it, I was going to say, yeah, there's some others that don't get away with it as well.
There's a lot of them that don't get away. That's it.
You like, and Ed said a name.
Most guys don't get away
with. He's not Will Anderson Jr., that's why.
He said the name.
Most guys don't get away with the things that, like, being such a coach's dream like Will Anderson. Most of them, it's corny and it's fake. He is. That's part of what makes him so special is he pulls it off.
100%. You see it in his eyes. He means every single word. So it was fun to get the chance to talk
to him.
What's
that? We're getting the talking point, right? Is there somewhere in the building? What's the put the ring on the bull? They have been saying that.
They have
said
been
put the
that.
Ring on the bull. You got puzzle pieces in
they
the locker
said
room.
It. Yeah, I was going to say.
And one puzzle piece missing.
I have heard it. That.
The ring.
I've heard that 9 times.
Yeah.
I mean, CJ Gardner Johnson said it.
Still not sure exactly what it means.
I put the ring on the bull.
Yeah.
I mean, I can like it. I mean, it's got legs.
But apparently, there's like I got to see this. Apparently, there's like an actual puzzle that they piece.
Yeah, I want to see what this looks like. This is clearly. Yeah. I feel like they're breaking down every time saying that.
They might be doing
bull
a bit
the
with
ring.
This.
Yeah.
They might be doing a bit with this.
The ring. That's illegal.
Put a ring on the bull.
Ring on the
bull. I said bull on the ring. Is that what I said? Yes. Ring on the bull.
Yeah. You brought back memories. Not for me.
Oh, okay.
I did one machine gun drill at linebacker, and I told the coach right then and there, I'm done. He made me run laps the rest of practice. That's when I became a full-time quarterback.
I love that professional football players also have that moment that happened with football. I'm looking forward to the fantastic show that you guys always put on, this time after day one of Training Camp 2025. You're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, the drive is live.
That's right, and football's officially here, damn it.
It is.
Practice
it is.
Here. Beautiful. No more OTA.
I love that sweat running down my back into my crack. Boy, I love it. Ain't nothing better.
Well, nobody likes it.
Ain't nothing better.
All right,
better.
I'll get that's with weird. It. Yeah, hell
ain't
yeah.
Nothing better.
No, I ain't good with that.
Sweat straight down the crack of your ass.
That's
huh?
just odd.
Well, that's because your armpits trap all yours. Mine runs down my back.
Oh, I got plenty down the crack, too, my friend.
That was unnecessary.
Why was that unnecessary?
So early.
I mean, I don't care, but I got plenty on the crack as well.
Well, just it goes over the crack.
And I do not enjoy it. I'm not
he's
sure anyone
not
does.
As much is what he's saying. No, anyway. Football! No, man. It's football. That's right, baby. Good times out there. It started, and it's officially here.
What
and
runs world?
Every day, every week, football is here what for the next world? However long the Texan season goes. And there's a lot to get to. We will get to a lot. There's a lot today. We got a little day baseball we'll get you ready for, 2:40.
Wow.
The Astros will look to sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks. Boy, do I feel good about that Bryce Matthews commentary I gave yesterday. If you missed it, just listen.
Kid is feeling it.
Man, he is out here just winning the damn series by himself. They're playing 1-9.
Pimping them things, too.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, he ain't got no choice to. He's just hitting them bad boys out, no doubters. But also, we'll get to a lot of what we saw at camp today. And Clint, let's jump on this right now. What's the number one takeaway that you had from camp as the sweat was rolling down the back of your ass through your crack and down to your hamstring.
Yeah, well, I didn't get my hamstring.
And you were apparently just smiling real big, no, loving every it. Second
I
remember, of it.
Hell, after I practice, like, I was standing outside like a store, and I just...
I feel like his sweat takes a right or a left.
But he's just standing there smiling, apparently.
I mean,
just
I love
really
it.
Enjoying it.
I was
it.
Standing there today. I was just, it almost tickled me. It was
yes.
beautiful.
Oh,
was beautiful.
You're a sicko.
Yeah, look, I think the number one takeaway from the first day of training camp for the Houston Texans, the beginning of training camp for the Houston Texans, is to me the difference between last year and this year was blatantly obvious. If you remember correctly, last year leading up to training camp starting, we had this five-headed monster thing going on. And then we get to practice and we watch practice. And I remember vividly looking up and Stephon Diggs go route down the sideline. And it was either Nico or Tank go route down the other sideline. It was clear we're gonna push the ball vertically. And then after practice, C.J. Stroud steps to the podium and is asked, "What can you, you know, what are you? How are you gonna take your game to the next level? What's gonna be different year two from year one?" And it was, well, being aggressive and driving the football down the field, stretching the field, kind of thing. I don't remember exact terminology, but you get the point. This year, it is very clear. It was very clear what's going on. We have several coaches, several players talking about we are going to run the football. I'm watching practice today, and it was clearly a run-heavy day. 90% of what they did at practice was the run game, right? There was some play action sprinkled in. There was a lot of quick game sprinkled in. They were an hour and 20 minutes into practice before one of the backups threw what I would call a low-percentage throw, and it was a corner, one of the higher low percentage throws that you could possibly make. Easy corner, high, low read. There was two of those late in practice. Everything today revolved around establishing the run, communicating, getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands quickly, run after catch, high percentage, stay ahead of the chain type stuff. And I'm sure there was an emphasis on, hey, we're going to run the football and we're going to communicate. We're going to run the football, we're going to communicate. I'm sure that's what it was. But the difference between this year and last year was blatantly obvious as we look at the first day of training camp, both from the action on the field as well as the comments that were made leading up to and in post-practice. I think it's night and day, and I love the fact that that's the direction the Texans are taking.
Well, that is absolutely a change. We talked about Nick Caley being a big part of what we're watching, and clearly we'll see if that continues moving forward, but that is clearly a shift from what we previously saw and probably closer to what we saw in year one of the C.J. Stroud experience. And that is what we've been wondering, if we will see things dialed back, if we'll see a difference. And I don't know if that's what the offense is going to be looking like, more or less, but it is at least a real difference from last year.
Yeah, it's a huge difference from last year, at least out of the gate. And I firmly believe. I sat right here a year ago, whenever after their first practice.
A lot of multi-tight end sets.
I sat right here, Ron, and I said, this season is going to come down to how well C.J. Stroud juggles what we just heard them talk about and watched him do versus the way he played quarterback his first year. I'm sitting here right now telling you after the first practice that – this year appears, the way that they're approaching it, to be more like CJ's rookie year than year two. A lot less focus on downfield, stretching the field, throwing the football, building this thing around CJ Stroud, and a lot more focus around, we are going to communicate, we're going to know who the hell we have when we're supposed to block them in a run game, and we're going to run the football downhill. That was what today was all about. The pace was slow. It didn't look like they were doing a million different things, but damn it, everybody was going to get reps communicating what the hell they are going to be doing in the run game, and they got that done.
Did this offense, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on based off comments D'Amico had to make earlier today when he spoke to the media, does this offense, and you all can chime in on this, 271-357-2416, YouTube and Twitch, when you think about what the hope will be, now we'll get to Joe Mixon here in a bit, but with Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb and Nico Collins and the size of Collins and Higgins and Noel and then the inside threat that Christian Kirk is, the offensive line, Dalton Schultz and company, in your mind, does this fit the parts that you have here? Like this style of going about it, does this fit the parts here better?
Well, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to go there yet. I mean, I think the right thing to do with so many young, unproven receivers, if you will, and let's be honest, some unproven offensive linemen that are getting a lot of reps, a lot of run. I think the right thing to do is to be simple, stupid, play fast, communicate well, and build on that versus try to decide before you ever take the field what you're going to be and kind of how you're going to do things. I do think it's the smart approach is instead of being half-assed at a million things, let's be really good at one thing. And when we get that part figured out, then we can do some other things. And I think that's ultimately what they're trying to do here. I mean, I think D'Amico Ryans made a statement today with how practice went of, hey, offensively, I don't need a bunch of fireworks. I don't need a bunch of explosive plays. I don't need a bunch of razzle-dazzle. What I need is for y'all's ass to figure out how to communicate the run game and get it done. Get a hat on a hat, less thinking, more playing, more reacting, and that's what it looked like today. It looks like D'Amico Ryans made his – I mean, I'm sure he's going to push it to Nick Caley, but at the end of the day, we got a great defense. Damn it, we are going to run the football. And we're going to be sound. Let's put it that way. I think today was a practice where offensively, damn it, we're going to be sound. We're not going to be sloppy. We're not going to not be able to communicate. We're not going to have three guys on the same page, the other two not. We're going to be sound, and that's what it looked like to me. Totally different than what we saw last year.
Text line coming through saying, why is this good? Don't we want to get the most out of C.J. Stroud?
No, you don't. I don't. I don't want to get the most out of C.J. Stroud. I mean, at the end
you
of the
day. You don't want to?
No. I mean, at the end of the day, I know that C.J. Stroud. I mean, sure, I want to get the most out of C.J. Stroud. I mean, that's. But the question I think that's being asked is, do you want everything to revolve around C.J. Stroud and all the pressure be on C.J. Stroud and C.J. Stroud have to carry the football team? No, I would rather that not be the case. I would rather C.J. Stroud play boring brand of football and let the game dictate, hey, we got to get vertical. Hey, we got to get the ball down the field. Hey, we're in a shootout right now. Our defense is struggling. Okay, now we know. We've seen CJ. We know CJ. The one thing I'm confident about this offense is if we wanted to go out there and be bombs away and be super aggressive, if the O-line can hold up, damn it, CJ can throw the ball down the field as well as anybody, right? And Nico is as good as anybody that mid-range game for damn sure, and he can get over the top. I'm not worried about that part. I think it's a bad brand of quarterback. I think it's a bad brand of football to just go out there and take all the risks that's associated with putting everything in the lap of your quarterback. If you can establish the run. And by the way, what I'm talking about doing, I'm not sitting here telling you they're going to be the best run team in the league. I'm not sitting here telling you they're going to be the Baltimore Ravens of Mark Ingram and them boys back in the day or the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry. What I'm telling you is, It is going to be a priority number one for D'Amico Ryans. They're going to run the football effectively. They're not going to get pushed around up front.
And I think also these things are deals of you got to help CJ, right? Like you got to help CJ when it comes to, you know, protection,
yeah,
coverage, all of, like you got to help CJ. And listen, this offensive line is not the Eagles. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they're going to become the Lions either. But you know, if you open it up, and that's what I would think you're talking about when you say to get the most out of CJ, open it up and put the ball. I think opening it up probably hurts the chances of CJ being able to be as productive as possible, because last year we watched that.
Well, it's CJ has to, a lot like Nick Caley, right? We've watched Pat Mahomes do it recently, right? CJ and Nick Caley have to kind of they have to what word am I looking for here, Ron? They have to conform, if you will, to
collaborate.
They definitely do that, but I'm like, they have to work together with whatever skill set. Like right now, it would be silly as hell to go, I'm gonna go heavy 11 personnel, heavy 10 personnel with probably two rookies having to be on the field in the wide receiver position, right? I mean, it would probably be silly to sit back there and say, we're going to throw this ball around the park with a tight end group. One, your lead tight end that's on the field a good chunk of the time can't pass protect, and last year couldn't separate. It probably wouldn't be the smartest thing to do as you're trying to get your offensive line to improve their pass protection to go, okay, we're going to throw you to the wolves, damn it. We're going to throw this thing 45 times in the first game. No, the like this year, I think the Texans' identity is going to be a more conservative identity. Now, if there comes a time where you've got an offensive line that can protect, I mean, for an extra beat, and it's one of the better pass protecting offensive lines in the league, and you've got a couple of more wide receivers, let's say Higgins turns into something, and you still got Nico and you got Kirk, and all of a sudden Dalton Schultz is back, and these, they're lighting it up. Now you got those weapons, you got an O-line that can protect. Then you go out there and you spin it around the park and you play a little Joe Burrow ball and try to lead the league in scoring and lead the league in yardage. That's not who the Texans are this year, right? So, yeah, I want to get the best out of C.J. Stroud. The best out of C.J. Stroud is over a 10-year period. Sometimes he's going to have to play a conservative brand of quarterback, and hopefully he wins a bunch of games that way, and that's their identity. There may come a time when he has to be a little bit more aggressive and they have different weapons. There was a time when Tom Brady had Randy Moss. They got real aggressive. I believe he set a touchdown record that year.
Both of them.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, that's getting the best out of C.J. Stroud. This year's supporting cast is about being sound across the board, including C.J. And in fact, that sound bus is driven by C.J. Stroud. So that's just where they're at right now.
No, that is a definite sharp change from what they were doing last year. Real quick, I do want to pass this along. We'll give you more of what the, I guess, injury situation or guys who practiced who didn't. But the big one, Clint, was Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon did not practice. We didn't see him in OTAs. We didn't see him on the field at mandatory minicamp. And this one's interesting. The Houston Texans have placed Joe Mixon on the non-football injury list. So you would wonder if this is an injury thing. There are guys who are on the PUP list, including Damian Pierce, including Foley Fatakasi, including Trent Brown, including Danico Autry and others, but he was placed on the non-football injury list. Hell, Jimmy Ward is on the PUP list. So that one's probably the big one of the guys that we didn't see on the field and not sure when they will be back on the field in Joe Mixon.
Yeah, no Joe Mixon and no Damian Pierce at practice today actually makes you think what the hell's going on, but it made me get some warm and fuzzies. We'll talk about that later on, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean that is those two guys not being at practice today, I think, was a little bit of an eye opener. I'm sure it didn't surprise the organization, but no. To me it was like, well, I sure expected him to be out there.
And we just haven't seen Joe at all in any of these. So hopefully he is somebody who's very important to this team. But it did feel different when you had Nick Chubb to be able to hand the ball off to today. All right, as we continue, I think Tyler said it earlier. You need to let people know this so they don't freak out about the Astros today. We'll let you know that news. And the biggest thing, we'll let you hear what DeMeco had to say about his O-line. And do we feel like we learned any more about the O-line watching them today? We'll discuss that next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Tyler told me, hey, guys, you know, don't get nervous. Don't get concerned about this. As I said, coming up here in a little bit, the Astros are looking to sweep the Diamondbacks a little day. Baseball, we will keep you abreast and updated on what's happening there.
Yeah, we will.
Did want to let you know, here's the lineup. Trammell, why not? He's leading off today. Yep, and of course,
there's
you guessed
one space
it.
Space Cowboy.
You guessed it, in the two spot. Victor Caratini. Yep, why not? That's normal. Trammell, Victor Caratini. Walker, he's the DH tonight. Vic's playing first base today. Or not tonight, but today. Diaz is catching and in the cleanup spot. The hero, Bryce Matthews, second base, is batting fifth. Dubon is at short. Cooper Hummel is in the outfield.
Space Cowboy.
Chaz McCormick's in the outfield. And Shea Whitcomb is at third base today. And this is where Tyler said, hey, don't freak out. Because there is no Cam Smith or Jose Altuve in the lineup. And Joe Espada said, Altuve's hand is fine. If you missed it there, when he gave that gave the Astros that insurance run on the wild pitch, looked like, I don't know if he stepped on his foot or he ran into his foot or whatever. He came up with his hand, giving him some issues. Altuve, his hand is fine, according to Joe Espada. It was a targeted planned day off for both Altuve and Cam Smith. That's an interesting thing to have them both have a planned off day for both of them on the same day with this lineup.
Yeah. Why not? Hey, look, if Altuve would have, with this, I mean, I'm glad he explained this because I watched Altuve after that. I was a little concerned. I watched his ass in the dugout and the camera panned over about 2-3 times. His little celebration after they reviewed it and said he's safe. His third high five is with his left hand. And I immediately said, that damn hand's fine. I don't grab it no more. Just everything's fine. And so today to come out and need to explain, I'm glad you did that. Because if this would have been a, hey, man, his ring finger on his left hand is jammed and he can't really grip a bat, I'd be like, well, he had no problem high-fiving that sumbuck in the dugout.
Well, it hadn't got away from him.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Swelling hadn't took
take. Him and Cam him. Off on the same day.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And my color's on the 15-day IL with a blister.
Wonder how long he's had that.
By the way, was that real quick? I know we want to go somewhere else, but last night, and Bryce Matthews is clearly he's clearly the headliner here.
Feeling it.
But real quick on the lineup. Was that an all-time low last night when Trammell pinch hit for Chaz McCormick?
You'll come at me about white boy Chaz.
Chaz McCormick went from feeling pretty good. What was he batting, fourth or fifth?
Had to get a lefty.
Hey, man, this is I got my shot here.
Got to get lefty.
And all of a sudden, eighth inning, game on the line, one run game.
Good move, right?
Pinch hitter. Ended up real well. Got a great at bat.
Yeah.
Walked. Got a walk.
Over there and led to the Bryce show.
And got Bryce a plate appearance, and Bryce went yard. Yeah, no, it ended up great. But I thought that right there, I think that may be my defining moment with Chaz. Where I quit.
I think we're about to see old Chaz shipped out of here in these coming days.
Get out of here, man. He's in the lineup. All right.
I think we're going to
see humble.
The offensive line, that's going to be Shea. That's going to be the – well, not back-to-back. Anyway, the offensive line is going to be a big conversation point for a while. And D'Amico knows it as well.
They're all fixable.
Well, they better hope so. I was talking to John McClain out there today. He said that's the number one thing. Hell, I don't know what's. I said, what's going on? How you feel about the team, man? I don't know. Don't matter until this. Till we see what this offensive line does. So I think it's clearly the big point there of improvement for this team. Here was D'Amico with his thoughts. This was his second question about the offensive line, in which D'Amico answered.
When it comes to the offensive line success, the offensive success, it'll never change. It's about all 11 guys is working together. And I know there's a ton of questions about the O-line. We'll continue to grow. Our guys will be, they'll be where they need to be. They'll do their job. They'll handle it the right way. But we'll see how everything shapes out. But it starts with just the mindset and the intent. Our coaches have done a great job of putting the work in there. Our players are doing a great job putting the work in. Now it's just a matter of when we snap the ball, right, on game day, whenever that is, we just got to go do it. It's not going to be about the talking. It's just going to be about us showing you. And I know, again, I'm going to get a ton of questions about the offensive line and what it looks like. Like, you guys will see what it looks like when we line up across from another team and we get a chance to actually compete in live reps. Me talking to you is probably not going to convince anybody here. You're going to keep asking me questions. I'm not going to convince you. I can't do a good enough job. All right, it hasn't changed, but we'll see what it looks like, man. I'm excited about the group because I know they'll be better.
All right, he said he'll know they'll be better, and he understands it, man. It's as he can sense. We'll learn more about it when they get on the field.
Whew.
Well, I'll ask you this, Clint. You've been through OTAs. You've been through mandatory minicamp. We've sat and watched them. You saw day one of training camp. Do you feel like you've learned anything more about what this offensive line is going to look like?
Not the legitimate offensive line, no. I love what the coaches are saying. I absolutely love what D'Amico Ryans just said right there. Don't blow smoke, man. Don't blow smoke. Don't act like you know this thing is going to be significantly better. Hell, I think it's safe to say they're going to be better. I think with CJ having more control, Nick Kaley will be better. The new O-line coach will be better. You being looking, watching those guys on a daily basis and demanding something different out of them will end in a better product. But I love what D'Amico said. I'm not going to promise anything. I'm not going to try to convince you. We'll all see together when rubber meets the road and these guys have to play each other, have to play a different team and actually get physical with a defensive line that's bringing it. We'll all see together. I love what D'Amico had to say. To your question about the offensive line, I think what I learned today is that it's more of a it's more of a competition at more positions than I thought. They started practice today, and it was Ariante Ursery at right tackle, Titus Howard at right guard, Jarrett Patterson at center, Lakin Tomlinson at left guard, and Cam Robinson at left tackle. And that was the ones for the majority of practice until the team period hit. And when the team period hit, it went Blake Andrews at center. It went Juice Scruggs at left guard. Titus Howard at right guard. Now Blake Fisher was in at right tackle. And Ariante Ursery had swung around to the left tackle.
Really trying to throw us off the scent.
Juice Scruggs was not in the two deep in the majority of practice. And all of a sudden they go team. He's starting at Lakin Tomlinson's spot. It looks to me, Ron, like with the exception of really Titus. But I think Lakin Tomlinson's probably pretty secure in that left guard spot. But I think with the exception of Titus, it looks like they've told this offensive line group, hey, man, I'm not going to tell you who's one, who's two, who's three. I need all you jokers to be ready. And when I call your name, get in there and play the best, but get the best rep that you can possibly get. And they literally are seeing how does Juice Scruggs respond in the first hour of practice being the third team? How does Ariante Ursery respond to going from the right side to the left side of the line, right? How does Jake Andrews respond to Patterson getting first team reps the entire first hour of practice? Like, how do you respond? How do you stay ready? How does everybody work together? And ultimately, I think it's going to create some competition. But it's more of a competition up front at several positions than I thought.
No, right? it definitely looked like either one, which I don't think they're doing, trying to kind of hide what they're trying to do.
No, I think it's intentional.
Or they are still legit in, as you said, multiple competitions.
Yep.
But multiple at center. Like this, to be honest with you, through all the practices I've been to from OTAs and mandatory minicamp, this is the first time that Andrews hasn't been running out with the ones at center. Like, that was the first time he wasn't doing it. Yeah, it was weird that Cam, it was like they want to keep Cam Robinson and Lakin Tomlinson together because that time when they were the twos, they were together.
Yeah.
The twos. So, yeah.
Which again, that makes sense to me. I like that level of that depth in your thinking here of I'm not going to sacrifice my guys getting reps together side by side. But I do need to get this thing rotated through and get the other guys a bunch of reps. So I like the thought of keeping guys together where you can.
All right, we'll get you ready and let you know what's happening in Arizona as the Astros will be starting soon. And we got to talk about it, man. Hey, we touched on it a little bit. Bryce Matthews, boy, he is coming on, and I feel much better about what I said yesterday. And I do think this is going to be your starting second baseman moving forward. Your thoughts, we'll discuss that as we continue right here live.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Twin Peaks Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It is day one of training camp, and obviously we will cover that as well. But the first place Astros have half a game out of the number one record and seed in the American League behind the Tigers. They got a chance to sweep the Arizona Diamondbacks. They are underway or about to get underway here. They are underway here as I see it through Tyler's TV there. As they're looking to sweep here inside, I wonder how hot do you think it is in Phoenix right now? I bet it is hell over there, boy. I can't even deal with it.
I've been to Scottsdale in August. We're pretty damn close to August, and it was quite steamy.
What does it look? It looks like there's a runner on second. Did Taylor Trammell already get on? Did he get a double or is still a base?
He walked and then he stole second.
Trying to tell y'all out here, man. Telling y'all there's
now
a spot.
He's on third.
There's a spot for this fella out here getting a walk, stealing a base. got a lot of guys that
fly,
come
get on the board.
There's not a lot of guys that got on this bench to come off of it and go and get steals. But they're set to take the lead here as Christian Walker is up at the plate with an RBI chance to give the Astros an early lead. So we will keep you updated on that as they are looking to extend their lead in the West right now. Yesterday they did win, no ground gained because Seattle was able to snap, which I'm going to believe that. That probably doesn't bode well for Tyler's best bets. If the Brewers won or lost last night, that probably doesn't bode well for Tyler's best bets. So
it was a red day.
Okay. All right. It's all right.
I don't even feel anything anymore. I'm just numb.
That's not good.
You want me to make them?
Pick them. I've already picked today's, but if it goes bad, I might do that tomorrow.
Hey, the door's cracked, Ron. The door's cracked.
I might do that tomorrow.
He is very disrespectfully dismissed my offer to make his picks, and the door is cracked now.
It is cracked. Yeah, he wasn't even thinking about that. My man.
I ain't never had a run
my
like
man
this.
Just that's bad. I don't even feel him anymore. Just go ahead and just lose that money and just keep on going, huh?
Mm. Just numb.
Just numb to it. I want you to unnumb that. But they still have a 5-game lead over the Mariners, and we'll see if they can extend that today with this opportunity to take the lead and win this series over Arizona. Yesterday, they did win the thing, and they were down 1-0 in the 8th inning. They weren't doing much at the plate, and as they have done so many times this year, they found something in the late innings. And what they found in the late innings, Clinton Tyler, was this cat Bryce Matthews again?
Ooh, young fella.
What is, hey, my man is feeling himself. Now, I want to see him do this away from Arizona because he is having the time of his life in Arizona. He does not want to miss that place or leave that place again. But this young man has 3 home runs in the series in 2 games. He has not had an at-bat in this game yet. He's got 3 homers in the series. And he has driven in 7 runs. He has driven in more total runs than the Diamondbacks have scored as a team in this series, 7-4.
that's awesome.
And then if that wasn't enough, by the way, down 1-0, Trammell does what he just did in this game, walks, and then Bryce goes ahead and knocks him in with a 2-run homer to give them the lead. But if that wasn't enough, they get in a jam with King. And King gets a huge strikeout, but then they turn a double play, led and started with an amazing pick by Bryce Matthews that I'm not sure, but I am certain the Astros don't believe Jose Altuve turns that double play, and they get off the field and win the game. It was like Clint, he beat them himself. It was like he won the game. Himself, well, and it was special.
That's ultimately what you hope to get. Not to swing it to somebody else, but that's what you hope to get when Framber Valdez is on the bump. Is a game where one swing of the bat can win the game, where you're in this thing and every at bat matters. It's not you're down late, you're down 6-2, and you're just trying to get to the game and get to the plane. At the end of the day, with Framber on the bump, he was able to keep you. Right there, 1-0 ball game, and every at bat mattered. Every walk, there was additional pressure on Arizona, and then one swing of the bat happened to be the young fella. He knocks it out of the park. So yeah, I mean, 7 of the 9 runs the Astros have scored against Arizona in these 2 games have been Bryce Matthews. And hell, I went back and watched some of his quarterback highlights, man.
Stop.
Like the kid even more.
You were so excited by what you saw that you went and start watching him in a different sport. Again, like you asked me the other day, how did I stumble upon the Sports Radio 610 Wikipedia page? How did you get there?
Somebody after I just when he hit the home run the other night, or hell, I guess it was last night. I just said, you know, Bryce Matthews, well done, young fella, or something. Somebody responded to a tweet and said, yeah, he can also sling it around the park if you need him to. And I was like, let me go check this out. Atascocita, 2020 prospect, quarterback.
How long did you give this?
Oh, no, I didn't give it. I just had to see it from my own.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, if you go down a 20-minute rabbit hole.
I went down three of his highlights. They were all long touchdown runs, so I moved on from it. But just to think that he was – I mean, there's just a bond there of a guy that stood back there and taking snaps, you know.
Yeah. I don't know that bond, but I hear you. I hear you. That bond is beautiful. But, no, man, I am here. This is going to be your second baseman. I think the rest of the way, and he's got to be confident now and calm now and in a space of, I know I can do it at this level. And he's made huge plays. He's playing with a level of confidence right now. I said this to Sean while we were at camp today, Sean Pendergast, and I said, Bryce Matthews will be the starting second baseman in game one of whatever playoff series they start, right? He said, yeah, I think so. And I'm here. I mean, obviously these 2 games have made that look really good. Hell,
yeah.
He's 4 home runs away from tying Cam Smith right now, and Cam's been here all year. But again, your number one prospect, he's up here. He's already shown these signs, and there's just not anybody here that they're going to want to beat. To beat him out. There's Rodgers, Dubon, they're not going to allow that. Well, really, and even if he just does what he does, has done defensively, what they want.
Really, Brennan Rodgers is the one, right? And I mean, I think that was a good veteran get when you knew you were going to play Altuve in left field. And now you've been forced to bring up Bryce Matthews with all the injuries. And you know, one being bit to Brendan Rodgers. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think the defense is better, but it's as good as Brendan Rodgers, at least a small sample size that we've seen, and I think the ceiling's higher. And we're talking about him replacing a guy that's going to bat in the 8 or 9 hole anyway, if he were to take his place. So yeah, look, the more we see from him, I'm definitely more convinced that he's definitely capable of it after what he's done the last 2 nights. We'll see.
The Arizona Diamondbacks a leadoff home run in their bottom half, and they weren't able to score Taylor Trammell after he walked, stole second, got to third. And if you're on YouTube and Twitch, if you didn't know that the Astros had given up a run, you could watch Tyler Milner, who needs all the space in that room to show his displeasure of what happened. By the way, I'm glad you brought up Framber.
One batter, one run.
That's all right. I'm glad you brought up Framber. It's redheads. It takes them a while.
Yeah, man. Ginger Nation, let him ride.
Clay, get ready to pick bets tomorrow, man.
Be honest. That's one of about 3 bats they got here.
Framber, this is since Garrett Cole sets the record 13 straight games and starts, his team has won in his last 13 starts. 13 in a row, the Astros have won. That ties Garrett Cole's record set several years ago. So, and he was dealing. I mean, they needed him to go and have that performance, and he held it 7 innings, 1 run, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk.
There needs to be an asterisk next to it, because the fact that Framber Valdez is doing it with half of the Space Cowboys lineup is got to be a plus. There ain't no way Garrett Cole had it.
13 in a row, you ain't lying.
I mean,
13
damn.
In a row with that one. No.
I mean, 10 of them are literally with 3 or more Space Cowboys in the lineup. Probably.
I wonder how much run support he was getting. He's been getting in his bad boy. All right, coming up, we'll let you hear something D'Amico had to say about Nick Caley, and we'll let you hear it, and you determine your thoughts of what you heard, and we'll take a look at what the quarterback did, C.J. Stroud. What he looked like today, day 1 of training camp. All of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.